have a heart attack when you open it up. It's got a lot of material on this sheet of paper. And what I enjoy doing is taking the passage that I'm going to be speaking on and putting it on a piece of paper, and then take any other passages that deals with the exact same topic and put those on the same sheet of paper. And then, you know, we're told in Corinthians that one of the ways the Spirit of God teaches us Scripture is by comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And comparing Scripture with Scripture is what the passage is talking about. And so what I've done is I've created a page here. And what I want us to look at this morning is the parable of the sower. It's found in Matthew chapter 13. It's also found in Mark chapter 4. And it's found in Luke chapter 8. And it's interesting, as you compare these three portions of Scripture, you'll see that there are differences in each one. And each passage will add just a little bit to the event, to the story that's being told. And it really thrills my soul when I'm able to look at all of these different passages of Scripture and put them together. And then I've discovered that if I can take the passage that I'm dealing with and outline that passage, then I've got it up here, and now all I've got to do is get it down to here, and so it can come out here. Let's read. Like I said, this is found in three different passages, three different Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels. But we're going to use Matthew 13 primarily as the one we will be following the outline this morning with. Let's read this passage, and we'll read from the outline if you want to. That way we're all on the same page. We're reading from the New King James Version. Listen to what it says in Matthew 13:1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed. Some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root and withered away. But some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and not shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of this people has grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, so that I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you have, what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received his seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You know, I want us to look at this passage right here. And I think there's a saying in Job chapter 34, verse 3, that says this. It says, "For the ears test words as the tongue tests food." Is that true? What happens when your tongue tastes something that you don't like? What's the first thing you do? You spit it out, right? And you say, "I don't want any more of this." What happens when you hear something that you don't want to hear? Right? Your ears, as it were, turn it off. That's a good thing about having hearing aids. You can turn off the things you don't want to hear. And a lot of old people are like that. I heard a story this week of a man whose wife was ill. She was in the hospital. She was old. And he brought up to her, he said, "Honey, in our closet there's this big box. And you told me never to look into that box unless I told you to. Is it okay if I bring it to the hospital and us look inside that box?" And she said, "Yes, that'll be all right." So he brings the box to the hospital. And when he gets there, he goes into the room and takes the box. And she's awake and listening. And he takes the lid off of the box. And guess what's inside the box? There's a pair of mittens that she had knitted. And there was a stack of $5 bills. And it was $4,500 in $5 bill stacks. $5 bill stacks in the box. And he asked her, he said, "Honey, what in the world is this? A pair of mittens and all of these $5 bills. What is this?" And she said, "Well, honey, I decided when we first got married that when you didn't listen to what I was trying to tell you, that rather than getting mad and leaving, what I would do is I would knit a pair of mittens." And she said, "As the box got full of mittens, I decided the smart thing to do was to take the mittens and sell them for $5 a piece." And so that's why the box is full of mittens. I know we don't have any ladies in the audience that have a box full of mittens where their husbands are not listening. But that's what the parable is all about. Is hearing with your ears and not allowing it to be processed into your mind and into your heart. There's a stereo shop in Greensboro. It may not be there now, but I remember seeing it many years ago. In fact, I bought some stuff from them. It was called the Ear Candy Store. Ear Candy. And you could go in there and you could buy all kinds of radios for your car. That's where all the guys would go to get the big loud speakers for the car. I didn't get any of those. But you get the point, right? Ear candy. So you can turn the volume up and you can hear all the things that you want to hear in that music. Well, let's think about it. Think about it. How many times have you ever heard the word nagging? Bill's shaking his head. No, he's never heard that word before. I can remember one of my brothers, and he was an older brother, and I learned from him not to say the same thing. He said, "Mom, why do you always nag at me? And why do you call it nagging? It's something you don't want to hear, right? If somebody's trying to tell you something you don't want to hear, you're nagging to them." And my brother, he was nagged at quite a bit. But I want us to think about this parable. You know, I've got some different colors on this little piece of paper here. And if you'll notice the color green, and I've highlighted the word here. And I think the point in this particular parable is the concept of hearing. I've heard different ones preach from this parable before, and they try to decide which one is saved and which one is lost and so forth. But I think the principle that's being taught here is hearing. How do we hear the word of God? It's interesting when you look at that, this passage. I've got the first column is Matthew's account, second one is Mark, the third is Luke's account. And if you look at these three portions of Scripture, you'll see that Matthew uses the word hear or hearing 17 times. In Mark's account, it's 12 times, and in Luke, it's 9 times. So the principle that's being taught here is the principle of hearing. Hearing. It's interesting. I've got a chart that I put together. It's got the seven desires of every heart. You know what number one desire of everybody's heart is? To be heard and to be understood. And that's why this is so important. Isn't that what God wants us to do? He wants us to hear what he's saying to us and then apply it in our heart. Let's go on here. There's a warning here that I want us to think about also in this concept of hearing. And it's the expression, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, as I'm looking out in the audience this morning, I don't see anybody here without ears. But I heard a fellow just a month or two ago, he was talking about this fellow that had a stroke. And all of a sudden, he couldn't think clearly, he couldn't do anything properly. And one day, he was ironing clothes, and the phone rang. But let me tell you what this fellow said before it happened. Both of his ears were burned, and severely burned, like they were burned off. And he said, this guy was ironing, and the phone rang. And he said, well, that's how I burnt my right ear off. So I picked up to answer the phone and burned my ear off. And he said, well, okay, that explains the right ear, but what about the left ear? Well, he called back. Now, we don't want to burn your ears off, right? That's not the concept of hearing, but that's the thing about it. And, of course, we read here the four different types of soil that the word falls upon. And I think it's interesting when you look at the expression word here in Matthew's account, it's called the word of the kingdom. And in Mark's count, it's called the sows the word. And in Luke, it says it's the word of God. So if you put all three of them together, what he's talking about here is God is sowing the word of God. And he's doing that all the time, isn't he? And what we want to do is we've all got a set of ears. What do we want to do with them? We want to hear, right? And we'll see the problems that happens in people's lives who don't hear what God is saying. You know, I want us to look, we read this particular story, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but look at the center column there, or I should say the center part of it. I've got the reason for speaking in parables. Why is it that the Lord all of a sudden started speaking in parables and telling people stories? What he tells us here. In verse 10 of Matthew's account there, the disciples come and ask him, why do you speak to them in parables? Why are you telling all of these stories that some people comprehend and other people, they don't have a clue what you're talking about? Why do you do that? Listen to what he says. Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now you think about that for a moment. Some it's been given to know, and some not to know. Some to hear, some not to hear. Now why does God do that? When we hear an expression like that, or we read that particular verse, we think that's not fair. Is that fair that God would reveal certain things to some people and to other people he wouldn't reveal anything to them? That seems unfair, doesn't it? You know, God didn't predetermine before the creation of the earth that some would be saved and some would be lost. All have an equal opportunity to be saved. But we see the expression here, the reason he is speaking in parables is because he's going to describe in these next few verses the problem with the people. They refuse to hear. I can remember when our kids were little and Karen would bake cookies. You know how many cookies the kids got at one time? They got one at a time. And what did they have to do before they got another cookie to eat? They had to eat the one that's on their plate, right? Listen to what happens here. And I'm just going to quote verse 13:12, and we'll look at that in more detail later on. But listen to what he says there in verse 13:12. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And now here's these next few verses, the reason why that's true. He says, here's the problem. Because hearing, they hear all the words going through their ears, but they really don't hear what's being told or what's being said. I've heard a story about a lawyer, a doctor, and a preacher that went deer hunting one time. And they saw a deer, they spotted a deer, and all three shot at the same time. And the lawyer said, I shot him. The doctor said, no, I shot him. And the preacher said, no, I shot him. And so the lawyer said, the doctor said, well, you know, I do autopsies. I'll go check the deer, and I can tell us exactly who shot him. So he goes and checks the deer and comes back, and he's quiet. And then the lawyer goes and looks at him. He says, I represent people in the court of law. I know how to deal with all these situations. And he comes back, and he says, well, the preacher shot him. And he said, the reason we concluded that the preacher shot him is because the bullet went in one ear and came out the other. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's what he's talking about. The words go in one ear and out the other. And they don't stop long enough to find out what is really being said, because their ears tasted those words. And they didn't like those words, so they shut down their ears and wouldn't hear. Listen to what he says in verse 14. Isaiah, he says, and in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. That's Isaiah chapter 6, which says, hearing you will hear, and you shall not understand. Seeing you will not see and not perceive. In other words, God is saying here that if you won't listen, if you refuse to listen to what I'm saying to you, then I'll help you out. I'll give you some big mittens to put over your ears so that you won't be able to hear. And that's exactly what happened to Israel, isn't it? They came, you know, with their mouths and their lips, they drew nigh, but where was their heart? It was far from them, wasn't it? But let's go on here. Here's the reason that he shut off the hearing of some people. For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of ear hearing, and their eyes they have closed. You know, I remember several years ago we were in Africa, and over there there's all kinds of carved things that you can purchase. And I bought the three monkeys. Do you remember the monkeys? One's got his hands over his eyes, one's got his hands over his ears, and one's got his hand over his mouth. Right? Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. That's the purpose. But you know what? We could take that same thing, same principle. I don't want to hear the word of God. I don't want to see the word of God. Right? And I don't want to talk about the word of God. Those three monkeys could illustrate that, couldn't it? And you know what? I used to be one of those monkeys. I didn't want to hear the word of God. But I can remember what God did in my life to make me want to hear and want to see and want to taste the word of God. But that's what happened to Israel, isn't it? They fulfilled Isaiah chapter 6. And if you want to look at that later on, in fact, if you want to take this concept, and you can go through the Old Testament and you'll see many times where God reveals what they did, how they closed their ears, they shut their eyes, and they didn't want to talk about the things that he wanted to show them in their hearts and lives. You know, it's kind of similar to what we see in John chapter 3, isn't it? Some people come to the light, and some people want to run from the light. The ones who come to the light, what do they want to, what are they illustrating? They want to see the light, right? And what the light reveals is that their deeds are good. But the ones who run from the light, why are they running? They've got evil deeds and they don't want anybody to see them, right? You know, there's a reason they're called nightclubs. Because there's things that go on in there at night that they don't want anybody to see. But here's the thing. He says they've closed their eyes, their hearing, their heart. Another way of saying hard-headed. They won't listen, right? And as what's the results? They don't get anything. And as we saw earlier in verse 12, what little bit they had, because they refused to use it, God took it away from them. That's incredible, isn't it? Think about it. Grown dull, hard of hearing, and they've closed their eyes. Do you remember what happened when Stephen had that great message in Acts chapter 7? And he gave them the little bit of the history of Israel. And it says in that passage there that their hearts were pricked. They were convicted. But with all in one accord, it says they put their hands over their ears. They didn't want to hear anything else that Stephen had to say. And they ran to him. And you know what they did? Took him outside the city and stoned him to death. And I'm thankful for what he said. Father, don't lay this to their account. They don't know what they're doing. Aren't you thankful that God doesn't just bring down the hammer every time that we try to run and disobey? I'm really thankful for that. But look at what he says in verse 17. For assuredly I say to you, many prophets and righteous men, desire to see what you see, and they didn't get to see it. How many of those prophets would love to have had a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ, the prophet that they were prophesying about? You know what? It's interesting. You can see where different people, if you could talk to one person that's ever been on the face of the earth, who would it be? You know what the number one answer to that question is? The Lord Jesus Christ. I'd love to talk to him. But these people, they didn't want to hear it because he revealed something in their hearts and lives that was wrong. So they closed their eyes, shut their ears, and they didn't want to hear it. But go on down here, and we'll see here the interpretation of the parable. Now, I don't have a clock back there, so I've got to go fast. It says, here's the interpretation. Anyone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. And he's the wayside. What is the wayside? What's he talking about there? A wayside soil. I don't know if I grew up on a farm, and we had paths that we would walk. We had a walking path and so forth. And that's what he's talking about. If you walk on a certain piece of property, a piece of land, it's like out here. We could take, if we would have cut a path across the yard, I'd venture to say by the end of the summer there would be no grass in that little strip of land. But if you go out there and put seed on it, is the seed going to go down in the soil? It's not, is it? It's just going to lay there. And what's he going to say here? Who's going to come and snatch it away? What happens in our yard when we sow grass seed? Okay, I see it all the time when I do that. The birds will come, and they come down and have a field day with the grass seed. Here he says the one is going to snatch it away. Look there in verse 19. Who is it? It's the wicked one. Look in verse 15 of Mark's account. Who is it? It's Satan. Look in verse 12 of Luke's account. Who is it? It's the devil. What does he want to do when God speaks to us and gives us something in our heart? What does the devil want to do? Does he want you to be obedient and to follow God's desire for your life? No. If you let that seed, if your heart is hard, what's going to happen to the seed of the word of God when it falls on your ears? It's just going to lay there, right? It's just going to lay there, and it's not going to accomplish the purpose for which God gave it. You won't accomplish a thing, and Satan will snatch it away. You know, I've had the opportunity to share the gospel with a number of people over the years, and I can remember many people that I've talked to and shared the gospel with them. I would tell them when I get through, or I'd ask them, when do you think a person ought to get saved? Well, I'm not ready. And I'll tell them, you know what? The seed, you understand the gospel. You understand it. You could even tell me what a person needs to do and be saved. But here's what's going to happen. If you don't do something with it, the devil is going to come and snatch away what's sown in your heart away, and you won't be able to do anything with it. You need to decide what you're going to do, and you need to do it now, today, tonight, tomorrow. And I've done this with a number of people, and I leave and I say, would you be offended if I call you back tomorrow? No. And I call them the next day, and guess what happened? I could give you several illustrations of people that said, you know what, I couldn't sleep last night. You told me the devil is going to snatch away what little bit I do know, and I don't know very much. But you know what? I decided last night that I was going to receive Christ as my Savior, and I want to live for Him. That's what God wants us to do, right? He didn't want that seed to just lay there. He wants it to come in to our hearts and accomplish something. That wicked one, it's amazing what he will do. It says he will snatch away. He'll take away the seed that is sown. That's why you need to apply what you use, and we'll see more details as we go on down. But look at the next thing. This is the wayside. The next one is the stony ground hearer. And here the concept is a person, or the ground has got a lot of rocks in the soil. Or an illustration where I can remember growing up on the farm, there were certain places where there was a lot of rocks, and there would maybe that much topsoil. And every time we had an opportunity, we'd go out there and try to dump all kinds of soil and stuff on that ground. But you know what would happen if you sowed wheat on that soil? It was about like that, and a big rock underneath it. It would pop up real quick. But what would happen when the sun got hot? It would shrivel up, it would shrink up, and it would die. And you know why it would die? There was hardly any root whatsoever. The seed died to itself, but there was no root. And what does the root do to the seed? The important thing that the root does in this whole process is that's how it gets water, isn't it? The root absorbs moisture from the dirt and so forth, and that's what makes the seed grow, the plant grow. But here he says it just doesn't make it. There's no root. And I want you to look at what the problem is with this particular seed, the stony seed. It says it endures for a while. But look at what it says here, very, very clearly in verse 21 of Matthew. He has no root in self, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Look over in Mark's account in verse 17. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. And over in Mark's account, or Luke's account of this same passage in verse 13, it's a time of temptation. Now think about that. Tribulation, persecution, somebody says something to you that you don't like because you've made a profession of faith, right? Or some kind of testing comes into your life. Because there's no root in your heart. The Word of God has no root in your heart. What are you going to do? Well, here he says in all three passages, they're going to fall away or stumble. They're going to run. Isn't that what we usually do when we are looking for ear candy? If we don't like the words we hear and we hear something that the Word of God teaches us that we don't want to hear, what do? We run away, don't we? We run because we don't want to hear it. And then, of course, how much fruit do they produce? So far, we've seen no fruit, have we? In the wayside, no fruit. Here, no fruit. Let's look at the next one. Verse 22 of Matthew's account. Now, he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and here's what gets him. The cares of the world. Wow. Do any of you have the cares of the world? How many of you, I've got to get up and go to work tomorrow. Bad Monday. I'm looking for a good Friday. I can tell you've been there and you've done that, right? All the things I've got to take care of. I've got this water leak at home, and I've got one to take care of. Okay? I've got all of these problems to deal with. And there are lots of problems in life, right? There are tests that come into our life. But listen to what he said. The cares of the world, here's another one, the deceitfulness of riches. I got to make some money. Got to make money. I had a guy I worked with for over 30 years. And the Bill, he started going to Shannon Hills with us. But I could talk to Bill about the gospel. His wife and two kids started coming to chapel, and they both got saved. Okay? But Bill said, I want to make $1 million before I'm 65. And so he was always coming up with ways to make money. Right? Bill ended up, one of his, or his son became a preacher. His wife is doing well, but they ended up with major problems. And Bill ended up as an old fella in his 70s, like me. And he died, but about a week before he got, before he died, he got saved. And you know what kept him from responding to the things that he should have been involved in? Involved in his family life and a church life? The deceitfulness of riches. We can do it, right? But look at, there's another one over here in verse 14 of Luke's account. Look at this. Cares, riches, and pleasures of life. Oh, my goodness. Pleasures of life. And what's the result? I mean, what's pleasure to one person is not to another. But what is the result of people who are controlled by the cares of the world, the love for money, and the pleasures of life? I can remember one buddy I had at work. He was a great guy, good worker, co-worker. But you know what? He had a really big motorboat. And you know what he did on Sundays? He would go sailing and fishing. He didn't have time because he had to use that boat because he paid so much money for it. You get the point, right? But look at the third type of soil. The third is good soil. And look at how they are typified in this passage in verse 23 of Matthew's account. They hear the word, they understand it, and where it's not worded here, but they do it. And what's the result in their lives? They bear fruit. And some of them, they bear 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now, you take somebody that's got the cares of the riches of the world, just tell them, look, I'll give you 100% return on your profits, on what you invest with me, right? This is some investment in it, and this is a tremendous return. But what's the difference? It's interesting. They hear, they understand, and look in Mark chapter 4 and verse 20, what do they do there? They accept it. It's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to accept it, right? And look over in Luke's account in verse 15. They have a noble and good heart, and they keep it. They hear it, they accept it, and they keep it. That's what a good ground looks like, right? And that's what God wants us to do, is to hear the word of God, to let it sink into our hearts, and then apply it in our lives. And you know, it's interesting, I think, when you look at these different parables, you'll find that one writer will add a story, another parable to the story, to enhance what he's trying to say. Look in Mark's account of this story. Mark adds the parable of the lampstand. And so does Luke. Listen to what he says here. Is a lamp bought to be put under a basket or under a bushel, or in a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Why does God want us to get saved and to hear the word of God so that we'll be a light, right? You know, it's interesting. Jeff has been going through the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. And the conclusion of those Beatitudes is, if you're doing that, If you have those mindsets in life, those attitudes, he says, you'll be salt. You'll create a thirst in other people's lives. It says also, you'll be a light. You'll be a lampstand. Same parable is found there. And what's the purpose of a lampstand? Why do we have these lights on? So you can see, right? I know in our basement, it is pitch dark down there because there's only one door that's got windows coming into it. And if I close the door off to that room, you can't see anything in that basement. Right? We need a light. And I can flip on just a little bitty tiny light. Bam, in the midst of all of that darkness, and I can see everything. But what's really good is when I turn on the big lights. That's what God wants us to do, right? Is to be a light. That's the reason he puts this parable of the lampstand here. But I want to just close with this right here. The consequences of not hearing. And you'll find it. It's in blue. It's in Matthew chapter 13, 12. It's found in Mark 4, verse 24 and 25. And it's also found in Luke 8, 18. All three passages deal with this concept. But I want us to look at Mark's wording of this. He says, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. The concept here, you also find this concept in giving. But here he's talking about, if you use what you hear, what will be the result? You'll be given more. But if you don't use it, and we can see, it'll be taken away. What little bit you have will be taken away. In other words, the amount of hearing that you use, okay, that's what will be given to you. If you don't want to hear anything, guess what? You won't get anything. You know, it's interesting here. For whatever, whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, what he has will be taken from him. That's kind of scary, isn't it? You know, I've got two nephews right now that fit this category. If you were to talk to either one of them, they'd tell you they're saved, but they're running as fast as they can. And you know what they're accomplishing? Nothing. They don't want to be around family. They don't want to be with mom, dad. They don't want to talk. They're so busy running. There's another story that's put here that I only have 4 minutes left. Look there in Luke's account of the story. Look at the very bottom of that. When the Lord is giving this information, here's what's going on according to Luke's account. His mother and his brothers are around this big multitude of people, and they're trying to squeeze in to get to where he's at so they can talk to him. And one of the people says, hey, your mother and your brothers, they're trying to get in here to talk to you. But look at what it says here, verse 19 of Luke 8. Then his mother and his brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, listen to this, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. And I've added a verse here that's not part of this parable, John 15, 14. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Mother, brothers, friends. Doesn't get any better than that, does it? And the point he's trying to make here, the ones who are really my family are the ones that listen to what I'm saying and they do it. That's amazing, isn't it? So you can see these principles here. Take heed what you hear. That's found in Mark 8:24. Take heed how you hear, and take heed that you hear. That's some real challenges, isn't it? What you hear, how you hear, and that you hear. Let's just thank the Lord for our time together. Father, we just come to you this morning and we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for every good ground heart here this morning that has the word of God sown in it and how they're using it and applying it and doing it in their hearts and lives and how you're blessing them. And Father, we pray for the different hearts that might be represented here this morning. Father, we know that there are some maybe that have a wayside heart. Their heart is hard. They don't want to hear what you've got to say. And as Satan comes along and snatches it away, the seed away. Father, we know there's some who has little root. And it's because they're not studying your word and not obeying you. And Father, we know that there's some, the thorns of this world is choking out everything you're trying to say to them. But oh Father, we pray this morning that all of us would have good soil heart. We would hear your word. We would be willing to obey it and to do whatever you would have us to do. And Father, we know that when we do this, we'll be the salt of the world and we'll be the light that glorifies our Father, which is in heaven. Thank you, Father, for all of these beautiful words and these beautiful parables that your Son gave to us. And just help us to be obedient to what you've shared with us. And we just ask this in your Son's precious name. Amen. Thank you.